نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد نصركم الله في مواطن كثيره ويوم حنين اذ اعجبتكم كثرتكم فلم تغن عنكم شيئا وضاقت عليكم الارض بما رحبت ثم وليتم مدبرين صدق الله العظيم. Most respected elders and friends, mothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, it was the fadl and the grace of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that in the month of Ramadan we were able to fast. We were able to suppress our nafs and our desires to fulfill the order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to fast. We were able to increase our tilawat of the Quran Kareem. We were able to make the dhikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, make taraweeh at night, wake up for tahajjud, and many people have given sadaqah and charity. Many people have sat in i'tikaf and turned to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And through all that, we attained a certain degree of closeness to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Now, after the month of Ramadan, we should continue with that to attain the closeness of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. One way to achieve that is to monitor ourselves very, very closely. Whatever we do, our character, our conduct, our speech, how we deal with family members, married person, how we deal with his wife, how the wife deals with the husband, how the children deal with the parents, how you deal with your friends, in the business world, how you deal with each other, in the social world, how you deal with each other. Monitor ourselves very, very closely. It is as though we should put ourselves under the spotlight. Or we should observe ourselves through a magnifying glass. When there's a dark area, then you use a spotlight. And the dark area becomes more clearer. And if it is dark, then it is vulnerable to theft and attack. But when that place is brightened, become very, very visible, a thief will think twice before going in that area. Likewise, if there's a hidden defect on the skin, then use a magnifying glass to see it. But if you don't see, use a magnifying glass, you won't be able to detect it in the beginning, and at a later stage, it may erupt into something else. So we need to monitor ourselves very, very closely and find out all our weaknesses and our defects. In order to make islah of ourselves, two things are vital. First and foremost, i'tiraf, to confess, to acknowledge that I have weaknesses, I have shortcomings. Don't be in a state of denial. The person in a state of denial, then his islah, he can never ever reform. And after confessing and making i'tiraf that I have weaknesses, I have shortcomings in me, then work towards changing it and reforming it. If a person has a medical condition, he's in a state of denial, he's afraid to go to a physician. He's in a state of denial and he thinks that if I'm going to go to a physician, what if it is diagnosed as cancer? So in the state of denial, he rather know that he has got cancer so it can be treated. Otherwise, if he does not know, the cancer may spread and it will become very, very difficult later on. And once the person knows of his defects and shortcomings, now merely knowing it is not sufficient. You need now to work towards it. If a person had a medical condition, the doctor has seen him, has prescribed medication for him, He doesn't take the medication, then it's not going to help. The condition will still deteriorate. So therefore, it's very, very important for us to monitor ourselves very, very closely, acknowledge our weaknesses, acknowledge our shortcomings, and work towards Islam and Reformation. Makkah Mukarrama was conquered in a month of Ramadan. So that was a physical victory, it was also a spiritual victory. And immediately after the month of Ramadan, the battle of Hunain took place. And Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala speaks about a defeat because of a spiritual weakness. So we understand that sometimes in the month of Ramadan, there is spiritual victory, but after the month of Ramadan, sometimes there may be some spiritual defects and we have to work around that. When Nabi Kareem saw some conquered Makkah Mukarramah, so close to Makkah Mukarramah, there's a valley by the name of Hunain between Makkah and Taif. There were two powerful tribes living there, the tribe of Thaqif and the tribe of Hawazin. The tribe of Hawazin, they were known to be good archers. And the tribe of Thaqif, they were known for their nobility. So they thought that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Makkah Mukarramah, now he's going to come to conquer us. So before he comes to us, we should rather prepare to go to him and attack him. So they prepared a huge, powerful army of 20,000 people. Under the leadership of a person by the name of Malik ibn Auf. Now they planned that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba come to Hunain, so they will ambush Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about this. He sent one Sahabi by the name of Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrad radiallahu ta'ala to investigate. He came back and he told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it is true that the tribe of Thaqif, the tribe of Hawazin, they're planning to attack. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took an army of 12,000 people to go towards Hunain to confront the tribe of Thaqif and Hawazin. So at that time, it came out from the mouth of some Sahaba. لَنُغْلَبْ الْيَوْمِ مِنْ قِلَّةِ Prior to this, in the Battle of Badr, they were just 313. They were victorious. In Uhud, they put up a fierce opposition. They were also small in number. In Ahzab, with their strategy, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala saved them from the onslaughts of the enemy. And now, Makkah Mukarramah has been conquered. And so many other wars taken place, they were all small in number. So many times they got victory with small number. Now we've got 12,000 people. We will never ever be defeated. So their gaze was now on their numbers. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took 12,000 sahaba and he went. The moment they entered into the valley of Hunain, the tribe of Thaqif and Hawazin ambushed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sahaba with vigorous spears. And the sahaba, they all dispersed. After that, they regrouped. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged the sahaba. It comes in the hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced, Ana nabi la kadib, ana ibn Abdul Muttalib. I am the true Nabi of Allah. There is no lie in that. And I am the son of Abdul Muttalib. We know the father of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Abdullah. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attributed himself to his grandfather because the grandfather was very popular. He was known for his bravery. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sahaba, when they regrouped, now they launched an attack. And that's when they captured 6,000 people from the tribe of Thaqif and Hawazin as prisoners. 24,000 camels, 40,000 sheep, 4,000 oqiyah, it's a measure in silver, all that was as mal-e ghanimat and booty. Once they have taken all that, now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told some sahaba, dispatched a group of sahaba, under the leadership of Abu Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to go to Autas. Autas is a place very close to Hunain. Now when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, they defeated the tribe of Thaqif and Hawazin, they fled. Some of them went to Autas. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a group of Sahaba to Autas to launch an attack on them. So Abu Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the leader, was the Amir of that group. One enemy by the name of Jushami. He threw a spear on Abu Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu and got him on the knee. So Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was there, he came to Abu Amir and asked Abu Amir, who did this to you? Who threw the spear to you? So Abu Amir pointed out towards the murderer. So Abu Musa Ash'ari went for him, confronted him, a battle took place, and Abu Musa Ash'ari overpowered him. Now Abu Musa Ash'ari came back and told to Abu Amir that Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has killed your murderer. So Abu Amir told to Abu Musa Ash'ari, you see the spear that is stuck in my knee, pull it out. When he pulled the spear out of the knee, that spear was actually blocking that water there. That pulling the spear out, the water came out gushing. So Abu Amir radiallahu anhu realized that time for death is nearby. Foremost thing that was in the mind of Abu Amir, he's out in the path of Allah, but the foremost thing that was in his mind, he told to Abu Musa Ash'ari, see, I'm going to pass away soon. Iqra minni as-salam ala Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Convey my salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa qul li Rasulillah istaghfir li. Tell Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to seek forgiveness for me. After the war, Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu came and informed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what had transpired. And he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Abu Amir, before passing away, made a request for istighfar and he conveyed salam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, bring water, made wuzu, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for Abu Amir. Allahumma ghfir li Abi Ubaid Abi Amir. Allahumma ij'alhu fawqa kathiri min khalqika yawm al-qiyamah. Oh Allah, make him above many people in the day of Qiyamah. So Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu was so envious. Allah the Rasul is making dua for one sahabi. I'm right there. I'm the one that making the request. Why shouldn't I request for dua? So he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya Rasulullah, and make dua for me too. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. That Allahumma ghfir li Abdullah ibn Qayy Zamba. Oh Allah, forgive Abdullah ibn Qays, his sins. Wadkhilhu mudkhalan kareema. And oh Allah, include him among the honorable people. After this awtas finished off, now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself took an army and he went to Ta'if. Now the people that dispersed from Hunain, the enemies, Saqif and Hawazin, some of them went to awtas, that army was defeated. Another army, they went away to Ta'if. Now in Ta'if, they put a huge fort and 1 year's provisions they have gathered for themselves and they closed themselves in the fort. Nabi Kareem Sassam and the Sahaba, when they went there, so there were already archers on the top of the fort. They burnt their spears with hot fire and they started throwing their spears. So Nabi Sassam and the Sahaba had to take a lot of cover. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw a dream that there is a bowl of milk and there is a fowl or a hen that is pecking into it. So he told this to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala mentioned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that looks like we're not going to be victorious here. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then made mashwara one particular sahabi, and that sahabi told to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that see, if a jackal is gone in his hideout, and if we are waiting there, then we can wait until it comes out, but until it's inside, it's not going to harm us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the sahaba, okay, let's go. Sahaba told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, how should we go without being confronting the enemies? Implying that they want to stay and they want to confront the enemies. The following day, the enemies, they threw so much of spears on the sahaba, many sahaba were wounded. Now the second day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, let's go back to Madinah Munawwara. So all the sahaba say, yes, ya Rasulullah, let's go back to Madinah Munawwara. So, just Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smile. Same thing I told y'all yesterday, y'all didn't listen. Today, y'all are readily accepting to go. And then, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to a place called Ja'irana. Nowadays, when you go for Umrah, you get the small Umrah, you get the big Umrah. The big Umrah is normally done from Ja'irana. And the background of that is that after Hunain, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took the Mali Ghanimat, the booty, went to Ja'irana. He waited there for quite a few days until the tribe of Thaqif and Hawazin that locked themselves up in Hunain, in Taif, now they accepted Islam and they came and met Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They requested Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O Prophet of Allah, our wealth has been taken away and 6,000 of our people have been taken as prisoners. Return them to us. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told, فَاخْتَارُ إِهْدَى طَائِفَتَيْنِ. Choose one of the two things. Either you take the prisoners or either you take the wealth. And when they saw that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not going to give in, he's going to give only one of the two. So they made the obvious choice that their wives, their children who are taken as prisoners, they should be returned. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told, see, I waited for y'all for almost 10 days. Y'all didn't come. So this, I've already distributed them to all the Sahaba. So if they permit, then they can give it to y'all. Otherwise, it is their belonging. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addressed the Sahaba. And he told to them, that see, these people have come and they want the prisoners to be returned to them. So if y'all permit, fine. And if y'all don't permit, still to give it to them, I will compensate y'all at a later stage. So all the Sahaba agreed. But Nabi Kareem Sallam mentioned, see, all of y'all collectively are saying yes. I don't know who's voluntarily saying yes and who's saying yes under pressure. So every one of y'all report to your people's leaders and openly confess and openly say that what is your people's intention, whether you're going to return the prisoners or you're not going to return the prisoners. Finally, they went to all the leaders and all the leaders came to Nabi Sallam and mentioned that every one of our people have agreed to return the prisoners. Now, in this incident, there's quite a few lessons for us to learn. Although this was the incident of Hunayn, took place after a month of Ramadan, after the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, certain mistakes took place. And how Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala made the tarbiyat. Firstly, they told, we are 12,000 in number. We can never be defeated. Because we're in such a big number. Before that, we were in small number, we were victorious. Now we will be defeated. Now, in the issue of Tawheed, your gaze should never go on your asbab. See, this world is a world of asbab, this world is a world of means. We'll adopt all the means that we want. But that is just as means. In Tawheed, our gaze should be on Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And it is our aqeedah, our belief. Whatever means we adopt, that Allah Ta'ala puts effect in that. See, with our eyes, it's a means for us to see. But we don't trust on our eyes. It is Allah put the eyesight in our eyes for us to see. Likewise, our sense of hearing, we can hear, but Allah put the effect of hearing. If Allah decides tomorrow to snatch our eyesight away, what can we do? Likewise, our walking, our thinking, all that Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala makes his faculty see. If a person is a doctor and he's operating the theater, now for that he needs his eyesight. Now he can't just rely on his skills. What if Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala takes away the eyesight or his hand becomes, or he becomes crippled? Everything is in the command of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So we have this asbab, we have this means, but our gaze is not on the means, our gaze is on Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. The Sahaba's gaze in this war was on the numbers. They were great, illustrious people. And Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala wanted to teach them a lesson of Tawheed. Obviously, they had tawakkul on Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. It was just statement that came out from their tongues. But Allah Ta'ala wanted to teach a lesson. Don't even make a statement about relying on your asbab, on the means. Focus all on Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Now, apply that to ourselves. Sometimes we have our means of income. And how much sometimes we just rely on that. And we think nothing is going to happen. We feel fully secured. Sometimes we have our education and our skills, we rely on that. Sometimes we have our business, we rely full on that. Sometimes we have very good health and we rely fully on that. And our gaze, sometimes because of all these means, our gaze goes away from Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. There's a lesson for us that in all the asbab, whatever means of comfort Allah Ta'ala has given to us, we thank Allah Ta'ala for that, but we don't place our tawakkul on that. Because all these are asbab and the effect of it is from the order of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. The second lesson we learn in this. See, when Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abu Amir told him, just before passing away, convey my salam to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The thing that was uppermost in the mind of the Sahaba was the thought of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that we should try to inculcate in us. Allah and His Rasul, all the time in our mind. And as far as possible, wherever we can, the moment we think of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, read Durood Sharif, read sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I've noticed this in the Arabs. You meet an Arab, anything happen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu salli ala Muhammad. All the time they're reading Durood Sharif. And that is a very good habit which we should also inculcate in ourselves. The third thing, that in Hunain, when Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba, let's go. They said, no. We still want to fight. The following day, when they got wounded, and Nabi Sam told, let's go. They said, no, let's go. From this, we understand another lesson. That sometimes when our elders, seniors, people have insight, when they give us some advice, then accept it. Don't rely on our rationale and our thinking. Sometimes place your trust on somebody more senior or somebody that got more insight. And it happens very, very often. We don't listen to our elders and our seniors, and then we put ourselves into trouble and we tend to learn the hard way. And the fourth lesson we learn from this, that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't impose on the Sahaba to give the prisoners away. The prisoners were now the belonging of the Sahaba. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to satisfy every Sahabi, that every Sahabi voluntarily disposes of his wealth and releases the prisoners. From this we also understand, sometimes the people got wealth in our muamalat, in our dealing. We tend to impose on people and take people's wealth away. Whereas Allah Ta'ala tells in the Quran Kareem, Ya ayyuhallatheena amanu la ta'kulu amwalakum baynakum bil batil. Don't eat people's wealth in a batil way. That means the Shariat recognizes the independence of a person's wealth. And if somebody asks you for something, or you ask somebody for something, if that person voluntarily gives it to you, wholeheartedly gives it to you, then that is a different issue. Otherwise, to impose on somebody and the person out of force, he gives you something, then there won't be barakah, there won't be blessing in it. So in this entire incident of Hunain, which took place after the month of Ramadan, it took in a month in the month of Shawwal. The month of Ramadan, there was physical victory, there was spiritual victory. But in Hunain, then there were certain shortcomings, albeit Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala immediately made the tarbiyat and corrected them. Likewise for us also, month of Ramadan, a lot of spiritual victory is taking place. Now is the time for us to focus on our weaknesses, focus on our shortcomings, and watch ourselves very, very closely with a magnifying glass or with a spotlight. And watch ourselves very, very carefully where we are falling short, what we are doing wrong. Until and unless we don't watch ourselves closely, our Islam will not be done. We make dua, Allah give us tawfiq, Allah give us hidayat, to always focus on ourselves. Sometimes we have a tendency of worrying about the next person. But just say to yourself that how much weakness do I have in me that I need now to look at other people's weaknesses. Just and believe in the fact that I'm a compound of weaknesses. I need to focus more on my own self. The moment you say that to yourself and start looking, then your weaknesses will come to a fore. That will give you the tawfiq to correct and change ourselves. Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat.